Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk. The Fiber Talk twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Yeah, we talked a lot this weekend. Yes, we did.
And I was like, okay, can you get that one out?
No, I cannot. I cannot. So tonight we're going to stitch and chat. Probably more about EGA, answer your questions, join us. Yeah, if you have questions, want to know what it's absolutely like to go, we'll be happy to fill you in. So we're going to stitch and chat tonight. And then, assuming I can get my act together, and I should be able to do that, then the rest of the Wednesdays in September, we will be showing samplers from different people. I have Kim at Sassy Jacks all lined up. And hoping to get Brendan and Karen from Australia. That would be good. And then the last Wednesday, if things come together, I'll be at the attic with Gene Lee live. So that's the plan. I still have to get in touch with her and get that nailed down. But she's usually up for talking about samplers, so we should be able to pull it off.
Yeah. I think so. She likes samplers.
Yep. So we're going to do that. A bunch of photos and talking about them. And I'll get some people and get some different samplers. And you can just stitch along and look up every now and then and see what they look like. Yep.
Right. It'll be fun.
Now all I got to do is get it lined up.
I know. We made a lot of work for you, didn't we, Gary? Sorry.
Yes. Yes, but we'll pull it off. We'll pull it off one way or another. Yep. Do want to remind everybody about the various things we have going on. The Marion Lang chart and kits kit, Amanda Rowe, the Mary Jane Fry. You can still do that. You can still download that. Botany Bay and Joanna Cabanoff's Take Wing sampler, all of those you can get kits and linen and charts from Sassy Jack Stitchery. And what is Joanna Cabanoff's companion to the Take Wing? That is
it's the Botany one.
Yeah, it'll come to us in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when in the middle of the show, when it comes to you, just blurt it out, and then we'll know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that.
Because it will. Lindsay Gradolf will be our guest Sunday, talented young lady from Tokyo, and
yes,
had a fun conversation with her. So that'll be our guest Sunday, and
Bushland Quaker.
There we go. See, I knew it would come to you. Yep, Bushland Quaker. Yeah, you want to do those if you like Quaker type samplers with the medallions and things. You want to do both of those, Joanna Cabanoff. Mojo Stitches. We did a show with her a couple months ago. Listen to that.
She has a new one too, and I don't know the name of that one. The new one that's kind of fall looking, that's got leaves.
Oh, okay.
So there's three now.
You
can see if Sassy Kim has them. So that'd be fun.
Yeah. So you want to do those because they go together nicely and very nice designs. So check those out at Sassy Jacks. And I do want to say, for the EGA weekend, huge thanks to Middle Twin. Check that out, middletwin.com. If you're doing if you're looking for some help managing your chapter or any club, it's a great piece of software. But then even more thanks to Kim at Sassy Jacks for sponsoring all three live shows, and just for her ongoing support. Those two made it possible, and please support them. Please,
yes.
When you're buying kits and threads and things, contact Sassy Jacks, sassyjacksstitchery.com, and support her. She, Kim, supports us all the time. We really appreciate it, and, keep her busy. Yep.
Right, and just make sure you put Fiber Talk Made Me Buy It, too.
Yes.
And it's
yes,
always helpful.
That's
always
right.
Helpful.
That's right. We do have a moment, though, if prayer is part of your way of life, say some prayers for Ray Parkman, Nicola Parkman's Hands Across the Sea sampler. Her husband, he fell, I think, from a ladder, broke his neck in two places, no paralysis, but It's up in
That's
the
never good.
up in the cervical region. So he's got two breaks. One break is one thing, and most people can get through that. But two breaks is a whole different deal. And fortunate there's no paralysis there. But thoughts and prayers, and I'm sure you can find Nicola through her website if you want to send an email or some other communication.
Right.
But
Because
yeah,
that,
unfortunate.
yeah, that's very sad. Very sad, but part of our community.
Yep. At least he's going to be okay, or at least
Yeah.
that's the report. So we're glad to hear that. But keep him on your list if you do the prayer thing, because those of us who do, we know it makes a difference.
Right.
It do it do. All right. We're recording this Tuesday. Got home Sunday. Had Monday to pretend to recoup. And so the Sunday story was going to take Beth to the train station because she was taking the
Right.
Amtrak train, and I was headed
Right.
out to Dundee where Marg had been all weekend to have breakfast with her, and then we were gonna head for St. Louis. And so I wake up and I have a text from Beth that
My train has
says.
been canceled. My train's canceled. And I'm like, okay, great. Now what? Try to scramble, get the evening train. There's only two trains heading my way. And nope, that one's full. Gary agrees to let me tag along with him and Marga. And we get on the road. We're heading down. It's about 7:15. We're at, I don't know, where were we? O'Hare,
Right,
drive along. And
right by O'Hare,
my
yep.
husband calls me. My husband calls and says, your train really wasn't canceled. And I'm like, I can't make it back in time. I was like, oh, Amtrak. I can't, I shouldn't complain. That is the biggest snafu we've had. My daughter takes that train all the time in and out of Chicago. It's been very good. But I'm like, really? Today of all days?
Yep, we had effectively reached the point of no return, headed north and west, and because a turnaround would have put us in scram, would have put Beth in full sprint mode, I think, if the train,
Yeah.
and I thought later that's we were assuming the train was going to leave on time, which is a bold assumption, but
Yes. Yeah.
we also know that if we'd have turned around and tried to get you back there, that it would have left on time. So yeah, so we just had to go. So Beth got to have breakfast with Marga and our friends Brian and Linda.
Very nice people.
and then oh, you got a full tour of the old homesteads. Yes.
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 Yes. Lovely Victorian homes all around Dundee. That was they were nice.
Yep. Yeah, we got of course no traffic. I mean, if you live anywhere near Chicago or any large metropolitan area, people say, how many miles are you from Chicago? And that doesn't matter. Map miles mean are meaningless. It's not unusual for a trip to Chicago to take 2 hours, and it's all of 30 miles from where we live. And so we left at 7. By 7:30, we were in Dundee. And any other time of day or any other day of the week, it would have been 8 o'clock plus. So I'd told Margaret we would meet at 8, so we had a half hour to kill. And then it turned out Margaret was ready anyway. So. Whatever, but
Yeah.
I had not seen our house since we moved out, so we had to see that. And yeah, you got to see the our first house, our first apartment, Victorian homes, the whole shooting match. Yeah.
Yeah, that was lots of fun. That was fun.
And then you headed to Genoa, Illinois, to spend a couple hours with Marga's cousins Gerald and Joan, and talk about all kinds of things like that. So that
Yeah,
was fun.
and it was like, and I was like, this looks like just like right where I live, farm country out there. It was like no longer in the city, we're out in farm country. I was like,
Yep.
yep.
Right back in your
My neck of the woods is like, oh, this looks like what I'm used to.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't take long to from Dundee to get in the corn, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So then yeah, so then we headed to St. Louis, dropped Beth off in Rochelle to sit at a McDonald's until
My husband came.
her
He was
husband
there.
came.
He was there 10 minutes later, so it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
No big long wait. No, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, of course, they wanted her to sit at McDonald's because the other alternative was a truck stop full of, you know, full of truckers and showers and everything.
I'm fine. It was perfect. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, McDonald's was closed, so she couldn't sit there, so she ended up at the truck stop. Yep. Oh, well.
That's fine.
10 minutes, that's not a bad wait. So.
Nah.
So a little adventure on Sunday. That was a little more adventure than Beth had planned. Because that was the annoying part, is by the time your husband got you, you'd have been home, if the train were running, you'd have been home 2 or 3 hours, yeah.
That's right. And that would have, you know, just, that would have been nice, but... Got to meet some of your family and got to meet Marga. Marga is a sweetheart. For all of you that wonder, yes, she is a saint.
Yes, she is.
Those are wondering. You know, she is a saint. We'll just canonize her now.
Yep. On so many fronts, she is. Yes. So yeah, you pretty much met my circle of people there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else is, yeah. Other than my friend Mike. Yeah, that was. Yep.
That's about it, huh? It was fun.
Tight. It's a tight group.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you didn't have any trouble getting there Wednesday. You got there in Chicago early enough to spend some time with your daughter and.
Right. Yep. And get there and get to. Wait, and not a problem getting to the hotel. And it was a beautiful hotel. It was lovely lobby. And that's the one thing. I think some people were kind of a little worried about COVID and measures. Almost everybody was wearing masks. I think I saw 5 people the entire time I was there not wearing masks. Not EGA people, but just hotel guests, people wandering in or something. But that was it. And I saw people cleaning lobbies, areas when people weren't there. Like if I got up early in the morning to go get my morning coffee, which my family knows I don't function until I have that morning cup of coffee. But they were cleaning down there. They were keeping the areas very, very clean. And it felt very safe to me as far as all that goes.
Yeah, the hotel did a tremendous job. EGA did a tremendous job of setting things up to keep you safe, and if you felt uncomfortable, to give you options so you could be comfortable. Tough enough to put on an event like that, but then to have to deal with the pandemic and viruses on top of it just adds to it. And I think they did a bang up job. I really do. Yep.
Yeah, they did. I think so. Yep. I think so.
So we had a great time. So yeah, you know, Sassy Jack Stitchery, Middle Twin, Kim at Sassy Jack's for sponsoring us, and a huge, huge thanks to EGA for making it possible. I mean, when we started talking about this a long time ago, a year ago, maybe more. It was, we might be able to do this, and you know, here's all the things we need to do what we need to do. And the EGA, and really a huge thanks to Beth Lindsay. She was our contact. She was the one who really drove it from the EGA side and made it possible. And they delivered everything. We had everything we needed to do the shows and to do the coverage, and made it easy for us. It was, made it easy for us to do the work. It was still a lot of work, but
right. And that's it. The behind the scenes, I know other people have said this before, but you know, to go doing the video, maybe it looks like, okay, you've got a 20-minute video. What's the big deal? Well, then there's cleaning it up a little bit, loading it up, and all the stuff that goes along with that, which is, you know, becomes a long time, no matter if you have a fast internet hookup or a slow internet hookup. You know, it is tiring, and it's time, and putting photos in, any of that. It takes a lot of time, and I appreciated how much energy it took doing that this time. I was like, I am so tired. Why can't I talk anymore?
Well, that's the thing, you know, to record a video and then to be able to sit down and take time to edit it and put a opening panel and some music on the front and on the back and put in some subtitles and or, you know, some overlays and that kind of stuff. That's one thing where you have time. But when you do this kind of thing, you want them up. You want people, right. You know, we wanted our audience to experience the seminar in you know, as close to real time as possible. I mean, certainly within the weekend. So that means, you know, you don't have time for production because it was Beth and me. We don't have somebody we can hear go work on this video and fix it up. You know, and so when we were working on videos, then that means we weren't out doing something else like interviewing someone or whatever. And, you get those videos and if they need to be, trimmed at the front end or the back end a little bit, yeah, you can do that. But to sit there and pour through a whole thing, that's just not happening. And,
and here's the other thing I wanted to say. I did interview two volunteers. I first talked to them. I walked by them. We had a lovely conversation. And then I thought, I should have recorded that. So I went back and standing there holding a camera and holding a mic is a whole different ball of wax than if you're just chatting with people. And I'm a chatter. People who know me, you know, I'm not shy. I'll talk to you if you'll talk to me. And I'm sorry, whoever I recorded, those were so bad. They're in the trash because the sound quality was horrible. I jerked the camera. I was looking at the ceiling instead of looking at you. Sorry. I am so sorry. So I need to practice that a little, Gary. But that's why I think that the other reason there weren't more videos is I didn't realize how difficult that was, to hold a camera and talk to someone at the same time. I need to work on that one.
Yeah, you got to clap your hands and nod your head at the same time. Yep. Yep. Make sure it's recording. Make sure you hit the record button. Yep. The things.
Make sure the person is in the screen that you're recording. That's always helpful. Yep. Make sure the sound, the microphone's all the way in. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the mantra when you're doing video, that good sound will save bad video all the time, but bad sound will ruin even the most beautifully photographed video. It'll just ruin it. You got to have your sound, and it's a different world, and You got to see the whole shooting match, getting those things cranked out and uploaded, and then the preparation for a live show, what goes into that, and
Right.
Yeah, it does not happen for in 30 minutes, I'll tell you.
No. You think, oh, this isn't a big deal, and then you start working it, and you say, oh, this is more work than I thought. But it was, I will tell you right now, thank you again, Beth. That was so much fun. And, being able to take, you have to understand there was huge signs saying no photography in the exhibit. And we received permission to take video, to take stills. And that was, thank you so much, EGA, for allowing us to do that, to give us that opportunity to share with, our viewers and our listeners, those aspects of EGA, because I don't think people realize how much EGA has to offer. Even I was overwhelmed and blown away by the course offerings. And I've been a member of EGA for 30 years now. and they just have so, so much. And seeing it there all in one room, the correspondence courses to the seminar courses to the award exhibit, it was mind-blowing.
Yeah, I have to say, that was my first seminar, and that room full of embroidery of all kinds, needlepoint, you name it, that was a treat right there. You know, if you went to that thing and only spent time in that one giant double ballroom, just looking at those, you'd get your money's worth, without a doubt. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So if you haven't watched... On the FiberTalk website, WeTalkFiber.com, There are four posts. So there are three posts of the videos that we did in each of the 3 days. And then the fourth post is a video we put up on Monday, which is the classes for the New York seminar next year. So yes. there's four posts that have all of the videos that we shot, or you can go to wetalkfiber.com/YouTube, and there we have all the videos. And Beth, you put them in a what's that called?
It's a playlist.
Playlist. So thank you.
Yeah, they should be all under the single playlist. So that way, if you just go and look under playlist, and you could just, which is something I do if there's something I want to watch, all of them. I put them on the playlist and just start, and then they're all there for you when you're doing something, sitting and stitching. They just play one back to back, and that's fabulous.
Yep, about 5 hours and 40 minutes of coverage in the 18 videos. So if you want to know what's going on and what goes on at an EGA national seminar, there's 5 hours and 40 minutes of here's what goes on. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I have to say the for the EGA, the 2022, I went back and rewatched that, and I realized both the classes by Kate Besto are Rosashi, which is Japanese embroidery. I called it canvas work. And so I kind of want to apologize for that. Totally different technique. And it kind of looks like canvas work, but it obviously is not.
Now I got to go look at it. Oh, my.
I know. And what's interesting about that is
who's the designer? What was her name?
Kate Besto, F-E-S-T-O.
Oh, here's one right here. Okay. All right. I got to go look now.
Okay, so the Amethyst Light one is a beginner piece. And so if you want to learn this technique, this Japanese technique, it's a great way to learn. And she goes, and it's small. So it's only 3 inches.
That's Rosage. Oh, man, now I got to go look at it with a whole new light.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I know what these techniques are. And then I'm looking and going and watching the video and looking at the note they gave us, a page with the descriptions. And I'm like, wait, I said the wrong thing. I'm sorry. So anyone I did that to, I totally apologize. But again, the classes were fabulous. All right. So you haven't gone back and rewatched.
Fire Flower is their other one. Okay.
Yes. Also Explorations is also, she's teaching. It looks like she's teaching three classes.
Oh, Beth.
I know.
Beth.
and again, this Explorations one is also, it's a 2-day class. So you really would be immersed in it. I'm sure the other one is too, but it's, that's a beginner class also. So you would really learn the technique.
All right. So now I got to go back and look again. You know, okay, all right, that's good to know. You know, one that caught my eye, of course a lot of stuff caught my eye, but we did that show with Melinda Sherbring, and you guys are doing that design of hers.
Yes, More Than a Rose.
Yes. I did not, until we saw them live, I did not fully appreciate the beauty and quality of her designs.
Yes.
Wow. No wonder you guys are doing that project. Yes. That's check her out, Melinda Sherbring, because she's got two classes, I think, next year, but that's some special stuff. Yeah.
Right. And I think what's interesting is, okay, it's posted as like the Elizabethan Enchantment, which I really, really liked. It's Advanced Intermediate. And I thought, Advanced Intermediate, could I do that? And so I went and I read the description, and it says you should be familiar with chain, French knot, satin, stem, and spiderweb stitches. And I'm like, okay, I'm good there. So the other stitches are the ones that I don't know, but she will teach me in class.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the videos that we did, I'm really proud of. And the reason it has nothing to do with the EGA seminar, but we did it because Natalie Dupuy and I were in the same spot, so we could do it. And so I took two of my framed finished projects. One's needlepoint and the other's the first. It's a little sampler, a little sweetheart tree sampler, the first time I'd ever stitched on linen. And we did about 45 minutes. I sent pictures ahead of time to Natalie because she's an apprentice judge. And all the work she did this weekend, I'm sure she's at the doorstep of being a full-blown judge. But she took the time to study the pictures and make some notes. And then we did a video with the camera on the two projects. And then Natalie went through as a judge and evaluated both of them and did a spectacular job. It was exactly what I had hoped we could get out of it, which was to hear and see what a judge looks at when they look at a piece and get that ongoing feedback. Because on in a normal situation, if you had something judged, you wouldn't hear anything. Or if you paid or got lucky, you could get a paragraph or two a critique. But you certainly don't get 40 minutes where you can have a conversation with a judge about it. That doesn't happen.
And, no, it does not.
And I'm really proud of that one. That she just, not for anything I did other than hit record, she just did a tremendous job, and it was really eye-opening. And you think, well, that's all right, that's judging two of Gary's pieces. No, it will help you. Go watch that. It will help you tremendously as you look at your pieces and what you do with them and how you stitch them. It was really good.
Right. It's so, so helpful. And what surprised me, I thought she was going to judge you maybe on the tension of, and she, I talk about the tension of your stitch, and she talks a little bit about that, but she really went more into your color choices and design, parts of the design that maybe didn't work. And to me, that's, we've discussed this a lot. What takes a piece from a B piece to that A level? And she's saying, look at your piece, and these are the things that'll just move it up a notch. And so helpful, made me totally rethink about how I'm going to approach a couple of the pieces, canvas work and some needlework that I have. But the Dawn to Dusk, I'm going to change the colors on that. And with the Debbie Rowley lecture, that was helpful. But again, listening to Natalie judge your canvas piece where you change the color made me think, okay, I have to think about these things too. So I've got to re-listen to that judging part, because it makes you think, okay, so I'm thinking about changing a color or changing something in a pre-existing design. I need to think of more than just, well, I really don't like that color, I want to change it to this color. How do I rearrange the colors so that it becomes even a more appealing design?
Yeah. That was that, listening to her, my wheels were spinning so fast. And it's a situation where I was so glad it was being recorded, because otherwise I'd have been making notes like a crazed person. But right. it was, yeah, your wheels start spinning. You start thinking about all the projects you're working on, and all right, I got to go back and look at this, or I need to adjust this, or this needs to just get torn out because, based on what she offered, it's gone, and all kinds of things. And then the other thing I took out of it, and other discussions we had with Natalie about judging, the importance of your finishing.
Yes.
To me, it's always been, here, Marga, just make it look good. But particularly if you're going to be judged, you got to look at the whole package, the whole presentation, not just your needlework, and then put a nice mat and a frame around it. You got to look at that whole presentation. And that one really opened my eyes because I'd never gave that much thought.
Right. And I've thought about it. Like, how am I going to finish this? Am I going to frame it? How am I going to frame it? But not as she gave way beyond what I think about when I'm framing a piece. It's just like, okay, yeah, this matches. This is okay. Put it in the frame and I'm done. But it's like, no. Let's look at this a little more closely and see if we can, again, take something that you've spent so much time on and move it up a notch by the framing of the piece.
Yep. Well, that was my my needlepoint piece, which is all it's a square with triangles all the way through. And the frame, which, you know, the frame works, but it has very lightly in it some scroll work cut, you know, right, cut into or dented into the wood. And she, you know, she pointed out, you have this very angular, very rigid design, and then you have a frame that has scrolls and curls and curves. No. Let's take a look at if you had something that had harder, more angled lines, that would make the overall thing a more cohesive presentation. Who knew? You know. And I'm sure that there's people out there who go through this and know this stuff secondhand, but I would suggest the vast majority of this is something to learn from. Yeah.
Right. Right. And learn something new and why, even how wide the matting.
Yes.
When they framed it, you know, she suggested going out just a little bit and seeing what was underneath, and just, which would change it too, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah.
It made a difference in the design.
Yep. So that was, go watch that one. That is instructive. Mm-hmm. And you might even bookmark it or save the link or something, because I have a feeling if you're trying to advance your needlework that you'll go back to that several times. Really helpful. Now, you mentioned the color lecture with Debbie Rowley. And when we first talked after you had been there to the thing, it was interesting, but I could tell your wheels were cranking away, that you'd taken away something from that. So now, with a couple of days, what did that lecture tell you?
It really told me, when I pull color, like if I'm changing a piece, I really need to look more carefully at the color families I'm using. That was the main thing and Natalie's too. Natalie was talking about the color you use was grayed. And so one of the colors wasn't quite right. It should have been a little bit more gray. Do you remember that when she talked about that?
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I have that same problem. You pick a color and say, well, it's pink, or it's kind of in the same family, it should work. And you look at it and you're like, something is wrong. What is this that's wrong? It's that it's not the same family. It's not grayed, or it's not white, which is tinted, or it's not black, which is toned. Mm-hmm. So DMC is the best way to go with that, because it has such a huge color range, and it gives you that opportunity to pull so many colors in a family. And then that's what Debbie said, you know, you want to keep, if you're going to change a color, you need to make sure you change everything. Like if it's blues, that it's all in that same color family, that you don't pull a blue from a different color family, because it won't work. It's not, so it all has to be like, or if you're pulling if the blues are grayed, and I don't know my DMC numbers well enough to tell you numbers, then if you're going to put a green in there, that green has to have a little bit of the gray in it, or it won't work. If you pull a Kelly green in, your eyes is going to say, something is wrong here. And I can't always tell that. So to me, that's saying, I need to play more with that. I need to just experiment a little more in that area so I can train my eye. Because how did Natalie learn that? How did Debbie learn that? They taking classes, or I mean, they just weren't maybe born that way. Maybe some people are, but I mean, they had to learn it somehow. Taking classes, playing with color, all those things. And so it made me think, okay, I need to play a little bit more with color, play a little more with my threads, just in the color cards or on the flosses and the bobbins, and say, okay, these go together. But if I add this color to it, okay, that doesn't go. Why doesn't that go? So yeah, it got me really thinking, because I need to get better at that. It changed. So I have a piece and is, I think I did a great job stitching it, but I changed the purple in it and it doesn't look right with the blues.
Uh-huh.
And I now know that my guess is just one of the purples. And I'm thinking that purple has gray in it. Ah. So therefore it doesn't go with the other blues or the other purples. And so there you go. I learned something but I didn't know. I didn't know until I listened to Debbie talk.
That's interesting. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, when Natalie said, cause my needlepoint piece is all maroons, reds, pinks, just kind of a gradation. And when she started talking about that one color does not have any gray in it and mm-hmm. all the rest have a bit of gray in it. Never noticed that. And when she points it out, you go, oh, geez, you're right. So that one color stands out and that's why it really doesn't fit in the overall scheme. Cause right. it's not in line with everything else. And, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But how do you know? I mean, you and I mean, I've taken a few color classes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But the other thing that Debbie pointed out is to start by taking fabric that you like the colors of and then just pulling the DMC threads for that fabric. Because again, you know, these manufacturers, they've got tons of people working for them to pull their colors on a fabric print. And then that would give you a palette to work from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great starting spot for colors.
Yeah.
And I would suggest if you can get into Natalie Dupuis' class, Ode to the Palette, that would be another great option. Because I did learn a lot in that class. And I've got to go back and review my notes on there on what we did there. Because, again, it reinforced what I learned this weekend at EGA seminar. How colors react, because that's the other issue. You had two colors, you know, the one that was kind of not gray next to one that did work. And I think because they're next to each other, when they hit each other, that also affects how you see it, how your eye sees that. And of course, I learned that from Natalie's class. And that's what I thought originally it was. Maybe it was because of the colors next to it. That it was causing an eye problem.
Yeah, and Gay and Rogers will talk to you all day about that, the importance of when the colors come together, when they're side by each, what happens there? Because it's not what you think it is all the time. And you need to pay attention to that part too. Yeah.
Right.
It really tells you what makes good designers good.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to that level of knowledge and sophistication with color, okay, that's why this person's work always has that little extra something that somebody else's may not. And it's that understanding of, I mean, obviously design and stitches and stuff, but color carries the day. And it's what sets them apart, no doubt about it. Yeah.
Right. And I think look, I was listening to the 2022 classes and they listed there was a color one and a design class. I now see, because I know you said something that you would like to take more color and design, more design classes, a judging class. And I thought, you know, I'd rather have a project to work on. But now I'm kind of seeing where, you know, if I really want to step up my stitching, that taking another color class would be helpful.
Yeah.
Working on that area a little bit more because, you know, I have enough information to be dangerous is my problem. And so I need to get a little bit more knowledge under my belt and a little more practice. I think some of it is just practice.
Yeah. Well, I think, and you said it a couple of times over the weekend, but one of the things that I took out of it was, obviously there's, like, next year there's, what, 68 classes. And you think, oh, what class am I going to take? Or would I take two? And I've thought about it several times. If I want to advance my stitching, if I want to advance my understanding of what I'm putting on the ground cloth, the classes I need to take are color, and I feel like I need to learn to be a judge, because that time invested in those two topics will serve you across the board. If you never do a design, and if you never judge a piece, it really doesn't matter. If you have a good understanding of color and know how to use it, not just I know all the rules and regulations, but I know how to use it, and I've got some experience using it. If you do that, and then you have the training to be a judge and to evaluate a piece, good, bad, or indifferent, to me, now you have the real tools you need to advance your needlework.
And right.
I think that's what I took out of that is, it's not as much fun as picking up a Mike Parr design and, you know, and taking a class, but because it's work. But I think it's the foundation. It gives you the foundation that you need to really take off with your stitching.
Right. It's much more difficult, I think, than, you know, picking up a piece and just stitching it as stitched. That's relaxing, and I like to do it. It's enjoyable. That's one reason why I stitch. But I also like changing colors, and I want to know why what I'm doing isn't working. That's where I need to step it up a notch. And I need to stop just kind of fiddling with it and say, okay, instead of just going with what I have, I need to analyze it a little more and take a step back and do the work, the pre-work, before I put needle, because I'm impatient. I want to put needle and thread through canvas. I want to start. I don't want to mess around with, oh, I got to pull a different color. Oh, no, I'll just use this one. It'll be good enough. No, it is not good enough. I will hate it in the end. I will be much happier if I change it out now or do the work now, then that way further down the road, I'm going to love this piece more.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that, what do we learn in a weekend? Those kinds of things. Those kinds of things. Yeah. And, you know, and we're not saying don't stitch, don't buy a chart and kit and go and stitch it the way it's prescribed. We're not saying that at all, because believe me, we got a whole bunch of them, both of us, that we're doing exactly that. Just that if you're sitting there going, how can I get better as a needle worker? These are the areas to explore, because they're the ones that are going to give you the tools you need to really understand what's going on and then fully understand how to change.
And I would say, even if you took a class, like I was looking at it was a sampler class. I've got to find the name of it. It was Flowers and Berries Band Sampler.
Flowers and what?
Catherine Theron.
Flowers and what?
Berries. Flowers and Berries.
Okay.
Band Sampler.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Oh, yes, that's a nice one. Yeah,
it is. And what's nice about that one is, you know, to take that class, she is going to teach you. I finally went and looked to see. It has a ton of different specialty stitches in it. Just a ton, and beautifully done. You would, again, so then you're learning how to do those stitches. So you've got that technique down.
Yeah.
But then, you know, now you know how to maybe now you've taken this class, you know how to stitch those, the trellis stitch, which I think is a bear to stitch. Well, we won't mention the Montenegrin. But now maybe you say, okay, I mastered the stitch. Now, how can I change the colors? How can I, again, move it up a notch?
Yeah.
That piece is beautiful.
Yes, it is. I remember that now. Yep. Yep. Well, I was just so focused on meeting her sister, who I assume is Charlize. I mean, I'm just making an assumption there. But I think I'm pretty right. Yeah, now I got to go back and look at the sampler.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yeah, it was one of the first ones. So beautiful sampler. But I think that there's always room to grow. I think that was the other thing I got out of the video you did with Natalie, is she analyzed the design on your linen piece. And yeah. I've never looked at any of those pieces the way she looked at them. And again, my mind was like, I've got to go back and listen. I was a little busy during that when I watched that second half, and I've got to go back and rewatch that, because I didn't catch all of that.
Yeah.
So thank goodness it's on video, because that one will be watched again for sure.
That one, you know, that is just a simple sweetheart tree sampler, and I still have the chart. So that one may be the first one that I'll go back and stitch again.
Really?
Yeah, because just for the exercise of applying what we talked about in that video. Okay. I mean, it's a simple sampler, so it won't take long. But just for that exercise and to see what happens if you do the things that we talked about. And then, of course, there are other things that can be done in that. And there's a little heart. It's a, I don't even know what the title of the thing is, but there's a little heart in the middle, kind of a pinkish red heart, you know, just to pad that. It's satin stitch, so just to pad it would be right. One little thing. And there's a second heart that is just empty in the middle. And I'd always wondered, should something go in there? Because mm-hmm. it creates a big white spot just below the center of the thing, and your eye tends to go to it. Should there be something in there? And so I asked that question, and Natalie says it should be gone. Take it out. And immediately, yeah, take it out. Take it out, move the main heart down, put some vines on top and bottom, and you got a whole different piece. And
yes.
Yeah, it's I may just restitch that, you know, just do it from stash, just to see, just to be able to hang them up next to each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And see, and that's it. That's where a designer, you know, designers are, I thought about that. Designers, they look at it, and then they finally say, I've done the best I can, I'm sending it out. But that doesn't mean you have to stitch it exactly like that when you receive it. Maybe you look at it and say, if I, like you're saying, I'm going to remove that heart, I'm going to add these vines. It enhances the piece.
Yep.
And again, just a great learning experience.
Yeah, really was. Yeah. I think maybe the find, at least for me, the find of the weekend came out of Kathy Andrews' class.
Oh, yes.
The Heathway Milano wool thread.
You win.
Yeah, I did. I won all the way around because I got to go in Kathy Andrews' class. And she fixed me up to stitch. We were just going to go to classes and just observe so we'd have a sense of what classes were like to talk about. I got to stitch. You didn't. I win.
No. You win. You win.
Yep. Kathy fixed me up. She gave me a hoop, some cloth, some thread. Yep. And got to stitch. But she's doing, was it the King's Pineapple was the design? Still is the design. Mm-hmm. And it's a cruel project. That always seems weird to say a cruel project, you know, to people who don't know. It's like, why? What are these people doing? Done with wool, and you know, wool is fine for woolly things, but in general, I've never really enjoyed working with wool. This Heathway wool stitches like a dream. It holds together. It doesn't get fuzzes all over. It is, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I've never, had wool that nice. And you think about, was it Appleton wool? Is that what it was? Appleton?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's probably one of the things that makes me not want to use it. This stuff is a world different, a world better. Yeah. And we mentioned in the one of the live shows, I said how many colors or how many shades are in each color, and Kathy corrected me. There are actually 9 shades of each color, really? Not the whatever I said. I don't know.
I don't remember. 6.
Yeah, something like that. But there are actually 9 shades of each color, and she chose fairly muted colors for the King's Pineapple, but she said there are plenty of bright ones too. And if you're interested in it, you can get them at Katkin, C-A-T-K-I-N, Katkin Crown Studios in the UK sells the wool. And, yeah, it's really nice. It really is. Yeah.
And I was so, again, I've got a couple of wool crewel pieces. They're beautiful designs, but I haven't wanted to stitch them because I don't like the wool. I don't like the Appleton wool that came with the kits. And now I'm thinking, maybe I could change these out. That would be nice.
Well, that's one, you know, I love the crewel projects, the crewel designs, Jacobean or Jacobean, however you say that.
Right.
We should really figure out how to say that. You know, I really like that style. And yes. The caricatures, the trees, the animals, I really do like that style. But the thought of stitching with Appleton wool, just, never mind. No thanks. Now the thought, this opens the door for me, because this Heathway Milano wool, oh, yeah, I'd stitch with that all day long, all day.
Right.
Yeah.
And something we discussed, and I don't remember if we discussed it live or not, was that I need to practice my shading.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other area where I really know that for the designs that I like, my ability to do thread painting to shade pieces isn't that good. Well, doing wool, I know, is an easier technique. It's much more forgiving than using DMC or silk, obviously. And I'm thinking using Heathway. I almost called them Treeway, and I said, that's not right. Heathway wools. They've got a nice variegation. So wouldn't that be a great way to teach myself how to do some of the shading?
Yeah. Yeah. No, just a wonderful wool. Discovery of the, that was a plus.
Yes.
The other thing about Kathy Andrews, and I did not know this until we saw the exhibit, because all you see out of Kathy is her designs, the designs she teaches and sells and so on and so forth. Her personal art, when she's not working, doing designs to sell or to teach, her personal needle art, 180 degrees and really, really a sight to behold. It's
yes.
It is really creative and unique. Yeah.
Right.
That came out of her, you know.
I know, because you think of it's very, her work would be very formal, and it's not, and especially the one she did with the accordion book.
Yep.
Very, very moving art on that one.
Yep. You're exactly right. You just did it. You would expect very formal, properly designed things, and she really goes off into the abstract world with her own work. And yeah, that piece where what'd she call it, anger, and anyway, it was an accordion set of panels for when she had breast cancer and going through that whole process, and they reflect her changing emotions and moods as she's dealing with it. And it's powerful, I wanted so bad. I should really ask her to send me. I wanted so bad to read the words on the back because she had descriptions on the back of each panel. But Beth,
right.
I know, I'd have been just crying my eyes out if I had started to read that. So I just couldn't do it. But I really should read it where I can cry in private.
Yes. And even just her artist statement was very moving.
Oh, yeah. That's why I knew I would cry, because her artist statement. Yeah.
It was wonderfully done. Yeah, wonderfully done piece. And I thought, and very, so expressive of what people go through when they have cancer. Yeah. But again, you know, her work that she presents for classes is so formal. And then there are the vases that, again, I was just wowed by. I thought, okay, I want to know how she made these. I wanted to, they were in a little plexiglass box, and I wanted to lift the box and twirl the piece around. I wouldn't have touched it. I just wanted to.
Yep.
I wanted to get a good look at it.
No, when I first time I saw those, I knew they were going to catch your eye, because you would actually try and do that. There are two vases that she actually made the flax, and and then created the vases, and right. Yeah, you'd do that in a heartbeat. You'd give it a run. Yep.
I would. I'm like, okay, how did she do that? I need to have a talk, Kathy. I need to have a little talk. How did you make those?
Yep. Yeah, and those two, you know, a room full of needlework, and then here's these two. There wasn't a stitch of needlework on it, but flax made into linen and then formed into two pieces of art, and you know, the very basics of our ground cloth right there. And
right,
yeah, you just really, when you see things like that, you really come to appreciate the talent these designers have, don't you?
Yes, because, and it shows their multifacetedness. They have more than just needle art training. They are truly artists. Some of these designers are, and I think that shows in their designs they present too.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's not just needlework. They do more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you look through any of the videos, you'll see it. You'll see it across the board. But if you look at the New York classes, one of those in there, I cannot get it out of my head, is a Debbie Rowley piece that is so far away from what she normally does. And, she has a geometric counted canvas piece in New York, but then she has a second one that is, you wouldn't even know it was Debbie. And it's fantastic. It really is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yep.
And it just shows the wide range the designers have in their artwork.
Yep. Yeah, it is a weekend like that. That was my first one, and I'll tell you, I was not disappointed at any point. At any point, I'm sitting here as we're talking, playing with the little button we got from Tony Gerdes.
Oh, I stitched mine. I'll have to send you a photo.
Already?
I came home Sunday night and I was tired. I have to tell you all, I came home and I looked out in my garden. I walked out there with my husband and I was like, it's red out here. There were tons of tomatoes. And it ended up being 5 gallons worth of tomatoes. But I was like, I can't deal with this. So I just ignored them on Sunday night and I stitched. And so I had a length of thread left over from a canvas piece I was working on. I'm like, I think this would work on that button. Where did I put that button? And so I stitched my button. I'll have to send you a photo. I haven't fully finished it yet, because I wasn't sure I really liked it that way. But I guess they make more, Tony, they make more of them, right? I can get some more.
Yeah. So, well, she had tubes of them there. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, right. That was so much fun. So much fun.
It's, they're plastic buttons made to look like, made, you know, they have a matte finish on them. About an inch and a quarter diameter, and they have 64 holes in them, a square of 64 holes, 8x8.
Right.
And they come, she had, what, half dozen different colors. Mm-hmm. And we each bought one to play with.
Right.
But all I could think was little ornaments to go on a 2-foot Christmas tree.
Yes. I liked them. I she had them as needle minders. So I finished mine and it matches the piece I just stitched. And I thought, well, shoot, now what am I going to do? So I already stitched this piece. I can't use it as a needle minder on it. So I don't know. It was a fun stitch.
Yep.
I'll send you a photo.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. We've been home 48 hours and you've already stitched it. I was just looking at it to think about what I might put in there. Jeez. Oh,
but you're right. You know, little Christmas ornaments. If it, I could see getting all the like getting all red ones and then decorating your tree with white stitches, with white stitching on it.
Yep.
Because the red and the white would look fabulous on a little tree.
It'd be cool. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just a neat little find we got at the merchandise night. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And if we'd have, we could have spent a lot of money if we had purchased what we were ogling when we went through.
Right.
And the fact that, that we had to do a live show and then when we went back later, that really saved us a lot of money.
It did. It did. I, my husband is forever grateful that we did the live show.
Because it was all gone. The stuff was gone. Was all gone. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Saved
it
us a bunch of money. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. All right. That's going to be it. Join us tonight. We'll talk more. Bring your questions. If you have questions about the seminar, we'd be happy to try to answer them. Take a look at go to egausa.org. You don't have to be a member to look at the classes for next year.
But
go check that out. And, of course, we have the video that takes you through the whole thing. Please watch our videos. Please share our videos. Tell other people. Tell your friends to check them out. I'm really proud of what Beth and I did. We really provide, 5 hours and 40 minutes of coverage. That's pretty good over 3 days. So spread the word for us. And, of course, when you're there, subscribe and like us so that we get more notice throughout the YouTube universe, whatever that is. I'm not sure what that is. But
I don't know.
So join us tonight for more of that. We're just going to be stitching. Haven't decided what, but we'll be stitching away and just talking about it. And, coming up now at the end of September, September 23 to 5, is the Galleria show in St. Charles, Illinois, which is all of 15 miles from me now. So I'm going to go to that at least one day or one session. I'm going to go to that, and so I'll take the camera and do some video. Beth was going to go, but Beth can't. So
yeah, can't go, which makes me very sad, very sad, because I think that will be a lot of fun to see what's at Needlework Galleria. So if you've ever wanted to go and, like me, have never been able to attend, we're just all going to have to watch Gary and be jealous. He gets to attend.
That's right. So yeah, if you're going, say hi. And not quite sure what time I'll have. Certainly the Thursday night from 6 to 9, I should be able to do that. And then if I can get another day in, I will. But that's coming up now, September 23 to 25, and that's organized and run by Kathy
Racanelli.
There you go, of the Inspired Needle, who did the boutique at the EGA seminar. We did a video with her too. If you wonder who she is and about her shop, we did a video. One of those 18 videos is with her, and she's the one who organizes and runs the Galleria show. And that's open to the public. You know, most of these shows are only for shop owners, but this one you can go. You buy a ticket; it's pretty reasonable, less than $20, and you can go for a day. And designers, it's at an Embassy Suite. I'm just telling you what I've been told. I haven't been there. Designers have all their stuff in a room, and so you can go and look, and I assume you can buy. I mean, why not?
Yes,
but
lots of buying going on.
Yeah, open to the public. So where most of them are shop owners only, this one you can go see. So if you're within a reasonable driving distance of St. Louis, it's worth checking out. Yep. All right, that's it. Now, that's it. We're quitting.
We're done.
More tonight.
All right. Talk to you tonight.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.